Okay. Let's call the Library Joint Powers Authority Board Finance Subcommittee meeting of February, what is it, 22nd today?
22nd.
To order. Can we note the roll? And...
The massive public interest.
Massive public interest.
Deliberations.
We're just to keep you on your toes.
Thank you.
In case anyone ever shows up.
And we have an agenda. Any questions, changes, or can we approve? I'll move that we approve.
This is my consensus.
Okay. We have minutes. Do you have minutes?
Yeah, I'll move approval of minutes.
Okay, and I can second them. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? We can approve them. Oral communications from Jesse. Or Kira. Okay, moving on to staff reports.
Okay, you have your financial sheets in front of you. We are 58.5% way through the year. And overall, we are doing okay. Revenues are holding their same steady decline. I mean, they haven't declined any further. They're holding steady, which is about all we could ask for. The one area that is still precipitously low is fines and fees, and so we have to, Jessica, find a way to trick people into...
Well, you definitely don't want to give them the warning that I was suggesting, even if you had the software to do it.
By the way, am I supposed to answer that person?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, I already got back to explain
okay.
that we don't have the hardware necessary to sort of operate a program that would do that. We think it's a good idea. If we had the right stuff, we would do it too. This was whether we would give people notices about their due dates before they're due, because now we just send it to them after they're due.
There's a grace period, though.
You get yeah, no, grace. There's a grace period, but I'm just saying
yeah.
It's like...
If we let them know ahead of time, we lose even more money.
Yeah, pretty much.
This is a side note to finance, but other libraries that actually have done that have found that most people actually, if you give them that notice too far ahead, I mean, they're going to return them anyway, so it's kind of a waste of a notice.
Yeah, they also just tend to...
Anyway.
So we might not decide to even do that, but the answer was, even if we wanted to, there's no way to, so it's just not going to happen right now.
So we are 58% of the way through the year, and our grand total of revenues is at 56%. In expenditures, the egregious ones that look way over 58.3%, financial services outside was over by $181. The percentage looks worse than the dollar amount, and that's because the audit was a little bit more than we budgeted. So maybe it's up that way. It came in at 63.91 instead of 62.
The auditors were selecting, we're going to save us money. We reduced something like, we're saving something like 15% of the reduction for, so I would expect the audit cost to be less next year.
And so different auditors than we have this year?
Same auditors, but same a different auditors, team, yeah. Different partner, different staff.
The moving cost item was a one-time deal. That was to get me here. Or maybe, that may not, that was still a one-time, that wasn't the one to get me here, that's someplace else, but that was still a one-time cost. The liability insurance surety bonds outside at the bottom of page 6 is paid up front. That's why it's so high. Other big ones here.
Telecommunication services outside. Actually, some before that. I'm on page 2-7 of our...
Okay. Yeah, page 7, yeah.
$39 for software maintenance services.
Yeah, and actually, I apologize, I have that circled. I did not check on that today, but it's a high encumbrance, so my guess is
it's
we
a small amount of money, so we're not talking about it all here.
Yeah, my guess is it's we encumbered it ahead of time, and we're working off a encumbered PO kind of thing. Actually, that's what I did. I circled it. That's encumbrance itself. The one that, the 104%, the E-rate one, they are promising us our money. But the check's in the mail. So we are supposed to get confirmation. They're supposed to pay us back to January of 2009.
We go visit them?
Yeah, well, I'm getting ready. It's AT&T.
St. John Leopold, straight up
to it's AT&T. It's not the government is AT&T.
I got it.
Books and periodicals, grants and donations, the 221%. The Friends need to give us some more money. They've got it. They just haven't sent it over yet. There's an email about that today. Then you saw your response. The answer is November. That's pretty much it.
Yeah.
Overall, we're at 55.55% in expenditures, so we're holding good.
Stuff down. That's good.
And personnel overall is at 56.5. So, and there's always a little discrepancy there, but we're doing okay. I draw your attention to page 10, in pooled cash, and a positive number. But don't get too excited. We have a positive number up there because we had two payments that got recorded in January. But as Jack pointed out, that means in July, when we get the June payment, we're doing good. So
we normally get a payment early part of the month, and what would normally come in early February came at the very end of January. So, of course, they want to get it in the bank. So
right.
It looks different. Than it normally is, and yet it's obviously a good number. It shows us that if we were caught up, that we'd be holding on.
Okay. Not enough to make cash flow,
right.
But but definitely a better number than we've seen before. And then your last sheet is the one that we do internally for county revenue transfers, and showing the same, you know, it just reaffirms that we're just down a little bit from what we expected. So. Pretty much nothing new and exciting. Any questions on it?
The way we like it.
Yeah, that is the way we like it.
So, unless, you know, we had a $500,000 donation.
Well, that kind of excitement would be a little different.
Of course, I'd have a heart attack. So. And I do go tomorrow and pick up the $300 from the county. So.
That was nice.
Go there yourself and you actually pick it up.
Yes, I actually have to go. I'm going there to the Board of Supervisors tomorrow. And they're presenting me the check for $300. Some group of employees... won some efficiency award or something, and they're going to give the money, the $300, to what, four?
Oh, great.
That's what's going
on. Can we trust a county check?
I will bring it and drop it off immediately.
Cash it quickly while they still have some money left.
But I keep trying to talk them. They do this dog and pony show in December to give us our property tax check. I mean, they do it later on the year, too. And I keep asking, why don't you just wire us the money? One year, I'm told by my staff, we got one over there, got the check, and the bank wouldn't take. Can you imagine the bank not taking a multi-million-dollar check because we hadn't forewarned them that they weren't.
They didn't have the appropriate approvals.
I can't believe a bank would turn down a check. So that's one more reason why I'd rather they just wire us the money. They don't.
Okay, so that's pretty much all that. So financial projections update, 10-11 budget update are pretty much. Combined here. You hot off the press from Jack and me, mostly Jack.
It was a joy.
We have 5-year operating fund projections in the budget. What I don't have is, you've got it, don't you?
Yes.
Yes. We have more at the end, yeah. What you have is from what we budgeted this year, what we're projecting will happen this year.
Maybe we should start with this sheet, your assumptions.
Oh, well, I was going to try to explain the assumptions as kind of as they apply.
Okay, no, that's stuff whichever we want to do this one. I just started thinking as I was looking as you were talking, going, okay, sales tax, what's that based on?
Yeah, so sales tax was based on holding steady through 11-12 and then going up very slightly. Like, is that 1% or 2%? I think
0, 1, and 2.
Yeah,
that's three columns. And, of course, these numbers are consistent with Pat Bush's projections from the county, the ones you saw in January.
Maintenance of effort is projected to go down. I'm going to see. Excuse me. See, Connor? Is projected to go down next year. And we held it steady through 11-12 with a very slight increase in the next 2 years after that. Grants, we got $74,000 from the state this year instead of $70,000. So we reflected that and hope that will continue. Charges for services, we just kept that steady. Fines took a precipitous drop this year. So we basically kept that going, kept that low, because we don't see any reason why it should go up.
Anything, it could keep going down.
It could keep going down, but we just went ahead and kept it steady. Hard to tell.
I'm doing my part to keep it up, frankly.
Donations, we kept steady, too.
I was late.
Thing about donations is pretty much if we get it in, we spend it, so it's not really a... unless we have something really huge. Miscellaneous revenues, we just held those steady. Transfer some other funds. This went up a little bit in 10-11, but then the expenditure side went up too. This is the Wayland, most of this, $25,000 of this is the Wayland money for Felton. And there's a possibility there'll be some costs this coming year in terms of some more studies and stuff. So we upped the amount coming over from Wayland, but it goes out the door the other side. So it's the net effect is minimal. And then interest earnings from the county, we basically, this is based on Pat Bush's projections. And then the expense of any temporary loans, we had agreed to show as negative revenue, so that's why that's showing there as negative revenue. So, it's...
And it may be early to say that, but we err on the side of saying there might be a need to borrow cash next year to keep it going. We haven't reached a positive cash balance by year. I stopped short of putting city on here. I just said, you know, wherever it comes from.
So it is pretty dismal. If you look at 13-14, we haven't even gotten back to what we had anticipated the budget to be this year.
Mm-hmm. This is already way down from what we used to have.
And this is down a million from where we used to be. So, and everything we're hearing is recovery is going to take So down to expenditures, and I won't go through absolutely every line here unless you really want to.
Yeah.
But wages, the reason that they go down in 10-11 over 9-10 is because the first couple of months of this year we still had all the staff while we were doing the layoffs, but by next year we've realized the layoffs. What is not included in here is, what is included is a little bit of merit or step increases because the SEIU union, SEIU, they had agreed to a 4-month delay. And even if they agree to another 4-month delay, we're still going to have to play catch up. The other one, so there are some expenses, some merit increases. So we don't have a lot of them in the library because a lot of our people are top step, but there's still some. Did I get that right?
Can I ask a question?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
From regular wages.
Mm-hmm.
So we're projecting that wages will go down somewhat in the 10-11 fiscal year, the expenditure for wages.
Mm-hmm.
Are we assuming then that everybody will agree to continue the 10% furlough?
Okay, yeah, that's this whole thing is with the furlough in place, not only next year, but no change after that, which there has to be. But we wanted to ask you, Jack worked it this way, and we thought we'd come talk to you first before we present it Monday night. When should we put the 10% back in? Now, maybe we find other ways to save, but in the meantime, at some point, we have to put that 10% back in.
So, just to clarify, these wages assume the furlough
continues forever.
Or something
we know it can't, because
So, what we did on this was, I also know that there's some reclasses that are happening, that are going to cost us next year. So, the question to you, and that was on... another sheet of budget priorities, and I don't think I have enough of these. I didn't have enough of these to made an extra cut. Well, actually, Sam's not here, so if you want to look at that. I put this down as a under budget priorities, some of the reclasses, but we may decide they're givens, so they should go into to next year's mm-hmm. budget. So that's the kind of direction we want today. Those are the two areas we want direction on.
Well, I can't think of any better place to put this, because without doing bargaining, and we don't know where this stuff will come out and where it's going to change, anything else would be arbitrary. We sit here and let's assume some savings from X, which we've never talked to anybody about, or we started to talk to somebody about, but it's not done. This at least is something that was in the past, and the question is that gives us a clear indication of what we need to save or what we need to try and find. If we're not going to do furlough, then we have an amount here that we know what it is that we need to try and capture in some way. So without assuming that it can continue, because I know it can't, whether that ends up becoming just a strict pay cut, whether that ends up being done in layoffs or something, what are dramatically different kinds of ways of approaching it, some change in service, might as well leave it here, because where else can you put it?
Okay, so you want us to put in the furlough going away?
I think the assumption, like you have it here, where you sort of assume that it's going to continue, definitely is the way to go. For now, do we know something else that replaces it? I mean, not that it's going to be a furlough.
Shouldn't it be noted somewhere here, though, so that the assumption is not made that this is the cost of staffing as it is right now?
Probably some kind of footnote.
Because obviously the library board can decide unilaterally to cut positions. Unilaterally, the library board can decide to continue the furlough. That would take negotiation. Layoffs do not.
But my other concern about not actually showing it in the numbers, and I don't have too much trouble assuming it for 10-11. Just, right, it still has to be negotiated, but we could just, a lot of people assumed it for another year. But beyond that, I feel like it should show, because otherwise, the 11-12, 156,000 in the hole is really 656,000.
No, that's why an assumption footnote is in the assumptions, in the budget assumptions, that says we have a number, we're assuming a number here is that this continuing. So are you telling me that it's not showing in the out years?
Right, it is not.
Oh, we should put it in there. I think it should just go in there. Because, just put in the total number for salary as if you take it out and then have a clear assumption. These numbers reflect as if we're going to continue the furlough. We can't convince, put it in the notes, we cannot continue the furlough. So some other way to capture this money will have to be devised.
But I understand what you said, Teresa. I think I'm agreeing with you, because my feeling is that bottom line number, net operating gain or loss that we are potentially facing over the next 5 years, should reflect very clearly the fact that we need to figure out how to save the $500,000 that we're saving in furlough that most likely cannot continue. So I would like, to me, it makes more sense to, for example, see 2011-12 showing a 900 some odd thousand deficit.
So it should show the average, so we should put the...
Because if we assume... furlough, and even with a big note that says,
I see your point.
We're going to have to do something other than a furlough to save this money, people go right to the bottom line.
Whereas the deficit would show that just as well.
I mean, I think we can have a big, you need to have a note that explains very clearly that as of
2011, we are assuming the furlough is continuing.
Right.
But
it needs to be part of the title. Besides the assumptions, just to make it real clear from the very beginning.
The other...
What savings
would that? I guess the other thing you could do would be to put in a negative expenditure here in the amount of the furlough savings. Have it as a separate line item.
Well, the point is, if that were the only thing that we had to wrestle with, that would make sense, because then our whole target would be, how do we get that money? That's a piece of other stuff we have to do anyway. So I think I've been persuaded that maybe show the deficit as a total deficit, part, and then a footnote in the assumptions, not a footnote, but a mention of the assumptions, that one of the things going on here is that we've taken the furlough out, and that's why the deficit got larger. Clearly, we'll have to find some way to close that gap. It can't be a furlough, is the point that needs to be made in the message.
The other consideration for you would be whether next fiscal year you want to show this as a half furlough. And the reason I bring that up is that the library started the furlough 6 months before the rest of the city. And if the city is kind of looking at 2 years, now, Jack says 6 months isn't going to make a difference with the pension issue, but just in terms of fairness or parity with the rest of the city, if we wanted to end the library's furlough next February and show the dollar amount that that would cost.
I think that might...
Again,
I think we need to have a note that would show the amount of money that we're talking about. If you pull out a furlough for the second half of the year...
Well, maybe for 10-11 we could add one in, furlough savings with furlough ending 2-1-11, and put the dollar amount that would be.
Hopefully we could just do a rough estimate of that.
I mean, we would take what it is for the year, and then it would be.
Well, that's a challenge too. Although I know it's roughly $500,000.
Right, we're just going to be able to.
Yeah, I mean, given that it's a lot of assumptions, that's close enough. A lot of bigger assumptions.
Because a lot of work went into these salary projections for next year and this year.
Right.
But we could estimate what the furlough or equivalent.
I mean, you could do it the other way, which is leave it in for the full year and have the big note that says, you know, reminds everybody that we started 6 months earlier than the city. And so if we were to have a furlough that ended after 2 years, it would end in the middle of that year. And there's, you know, X amount of dollars that we would have to add back in to our expenditures. And therefore, you know, the bottom line again would be.
I like
money.
The bottom line being viewable.
I mean, the thing about this is we can't even assume what the employees might like. I mean, if they have a choice between a furlough for another, that ends at the same time the rest of the city furlough program ends, versus lay off two people or whatever the heck it ends up being, or four people, whatever it ends up being, but that amount of much more than two, whatever that amount of money is. They might select the furlough continuing for the end of the year, because if it doesn't cause us a legal problem, you know, to have it end at the same time as the rest, which I don't think it does, at the end of the rest of the city, we shouldn't prejudge what we're going to do.
Right.
That's a result of discussions between us and the bargaining units.
I like it to just be really clear that I agree with you that this doesn't reflect any decision that's been made or even recommendation that's been made.
Well, it should show the impact of decisions.
It'll show the impact. And so we just have to say, do we want to show an impact of something that we think is potentially likely to happen, or show an impact by pulling out the furlough savings entirely?
Well, that's what I'm asking is, you know,
I'd leave it in for the year. I'd put a note saying, you know, this assumes that we continue the furlough for an extra 6 months beyond what other city employees do. Put it in writing, provide it for everybody. Whether that works or is sustainable remains to be seen, or something, or would, you know, or whether there are better options, I guess is the way to put it.
And, you know, you could almost at the end of that when you're showing that operating gain or loss fund balance,
you could put
like a little memo line that sort of says, you know, without any furlough savings in the projections, this would be the operating gain or loss.
All the years out, or just
Because it's already going to be pulled out of the last few years.
Okay, so for 10-11.
So you could so it's really clear, because people go to the bottom line. They don't look at the detail. They go to the bottom line. And I think it should be obvious from looking at that final section that this result that we're projecting is reliant upon finding personnel savings.
So are you suggesting another line at the bottom that would add in the incremental difference? Is that what you're saying?
And it only has to be for that 1 year, the year 10-11.
If the furlough ended 2-1-11.
I mean 11-12. Right. It's in there, 10-11.
No, we ended 11-12 and on out. So that would be part of the personnel money. But for 10-11, if we ended it in February of 11, so it was in for 2 years, then the additional cost would be...
Additional expenditure.
Additional expenditure.
$500,000 more.
Well, not quite 250.
If it's February.
We did in February, it wouldn't be quite 250 because it would be more.
So the fact that it's in there through February is, you know, something that you'll put on the assumptions page.
Right.
And then I just think it's useful when you're looking at the bottom line here to have just a little note, almost memo line item, that says
without continued furlough past date X,
this would be the
balance would be
whatever. Yeah. 250,000 worse than it is, or whatever it's going to turn out to be.
And you're suggesting showing that only in
10-11.
Right,
you're
going to take it out.
Right under fund balance at year end, at the very last line underneath, under 156, mm-hmm. It would say
500,000 or
600
or
56.
Exactly.
Yeah. Exactly. So it's really clear for those people.
And then there would be an asterisk on it. An asterisk would appear at the bottom of the page.
Who are going to jump to the bottom line, which everybody will.
The board members.
But I'm talking about other people who are going to pick up on the public. For a board, it doesn't really matter because we're going to explain it in detail. But it's, you know, for everybody else who takes a look at this.
So it's just a couple of clarifications. So do you think that by putting February, that will drive the conversation that way?
I was thinking about, but it's like, it's going to happen anyway. It doesn't matter whether we say it or don't say it. It's like, I would make the point, as I said, I don't want to assume that the employees would think it was a good decision necessarily to get rid of the furlough. If the alternative is something worse, maybe they just didn't keep it from the furlough. We know we have to have it after the year for other reasons. But internally, I'm not going to prejudge what we're going to do about that furlough in the second half of that year.
No, I agree. I just think it's, I mean, we keep thinking ending the furlough is this, you know, the total number, but then it started occurring to me, okay, there is a certain logic in looking at it in February, and, you know, what does that look like? Just
yeah, I mean, so when you give me an example, it comes down to concrete. I'm sure the initial impulse would be, yeah, those other guys didn't have to have furlough for longer than us. We're out of here. I mean, that would be people's first, it would be mine, you know, the first response. So, yeah, this furlough is going to end. I'm going to get my payback up. That's really great. And then if you say to somebody, yeah, well, that could happen, but then there's going to be these layoffs. If you want the layoffs they have in the Parks Department to be able to sustain it when it happened, then you could go there. But let's talk about this and figure out what we want to do. And that's what bargaining is all about, I think. So I just don't. The fact that they're going to raise it, that might be the first response. Yeah, give us our money back. Then, so, well, yeah, the end result, then immediately we're talking about something much more draconian. Maybe people won't be in such a rush to have that happen. I don't think, what do you think about that? But we'll see.
Well, the contract negotiation will be happening in the early fall. So this whole conversation may be moot because based on what the board's plan is, union members may vote differently on the contract based on what they think they're going to be faced with in terms of how the library board is going to. Mm-hmm. And I think that, without exaggeration, it can be said that library staff helped to carry the city contract agreement the last time around. So we can get into second-guessing everybody, but in fact, the contract renegotiation will be a fait accompli before February union was grant. And you will then be dealing with the fallout, whatever that may be, from the renegotiation of the entire citywide SEIU contract.
So I think it's, you kind of have to bring it to a philosophical or a priority base for the board. What do they think should happen, and what does that mean? And yes, then we have to negotiate to it. But
from the from the perspective strictly of making this clear, I think you need to decide what makes this the clearest.
Right.
And there are just too many things we can't second guess, right?
And I think, frankly, it's kind of a toss-up whether you end up leaving it in and having a separate bottom line,
right,
take it out and put the
me too. Anyway.
It's not as if people are going to, like, it's going to slide by anybody's attention,
right,
that we have this elephant in the room that we have to
that's
try
right. So I don't know what is clearest. I would go whatever you think is clearest.
The reason for... One of the reasons for considering ending the furlough is one of the things that we get screamed at the most is hours. And ending the furlough would allow us to bring back some hours. And so that's why I think that having the conversation, you know, there is
See, but that's exactly where your assumption's wrong. Because if you end the furlough and you have to lay off enough people that you end up closing some branch every few more days a week, they're going to have an hours problem, just like they do now.
I don't think
there's a whole lot of solutions that give you hours back other than telling employees, how about I just no furlough, how about just a pay cut, come to work 40 hours and take a pay cut. That will keep your hours up, but that may not get you a contract in a short period of time.
I think it will.
So however we do this, did I hear you say the furlough would be out then, as if we showed this other option below, would be out starting in February of 11 and thereafter?
And thereafter.
So that, okay, because I
need some sentences of if it, though, if the furlough goes up.
Yeah, it's an if. Yeah.
I think that's clear.
And so I envision a little break here just so it doesn't look like a run-on.
Right.
This is with furlough or equivalent, and then a little break, and below it is a brief summary of the cumulative effect and annual effect of not.
Yeah, except from 11-12 on out, we're taking the furlough. We're not.
It's gone.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, no, I think that will make it clear.
Okay. So that will fit nicely on the page, too.
Most things, you know, we just followed what the projections are in terms of Medicare insurance was really high this year because there's a Medicare buyback program going on. So.
And, of course, retirement and health are showing increases. The retirement rate we expect to increase a couple percent a year for the next several years. And medical, we're expecting 8% annual increases, basically. So those are challenges and non-controllable costs.
Do you have any sort of estimate of, because the way I always look at it is, what percent of your payroll is going up? What is it? Let's see how I can say it. It's even hard to say.
The variable portion.
Benefits
are
increasing the payroll by 7%. I mean, a conglomeration of PERS, health care.
Well, there's a whole benefit. We get that number. It's the benefit package as a whole costs 30% of the compensation.
Probably more than that now.
Whatever, there you go. Or that's going up now. It's 32% or whatever. I don't know.
Yeah, it's got to be going up.
For non-safety, it's in that neighborhood.
But it's going up. It's not staying steady.
That's
right. Yeah, it is going up.
Thank you. Well point.
Something like water, sewer, and refuse. You know, slight 1% increase just because those things go up. You know, it's naive to say we're going to hold them steady because. We're not.
Where do we start charging the utility tax off the increase?
That could charge to us, too?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well, no, we are exempt on our own.
We don't pay internally for that?
No, we don't.
Oh, yeah. Cool.
Does the library?
No, and we don't charge other general entities either for the utility tax.
Why not?
So a lot of these things, you know, the price of gas to run our vehicles is going to go up. For Scotts Valley, we have a placeholder, New Scotts Valley Maintenance/Utilities. Rather than trying to put it in each little place, we basically, in 11-12, will stop paying $84,000 in rent for Scotts Valley, but we estimate that the additional maintenance utilities cost. Now, I base these on Live Oak since it's a similar size. Now, I recognize that Live Oak may have some other issues, particularly when it comes to electrical, though I understand that it may not be that far off anymore. So this is an estimate. We haven't negotiated with Scotts Valley yet as to what they're going to cover versus us, but the $68,000 we thought was, you know, as we started adding everything up in terms of using Live Oak figures. The architects are supposed to be getting me a cost, but I'm still waiting. Other things we held steady. Travel and meetings we brought up a little bit. Training we increased a little bit because it's pathetically low. And so we just increased it just a little bit based on the request that Janice came up with. telecommunications, we're looking for ways to save on both those, but not there yet.
And you'll see telecommunications internally, you'll see it drop at 12-13, because that's when the library share of the city's telephone system purchase drops off.
Dues and memberships, also a slight increase to cover reality.
So basically, we're assuming that things are going to hold somewhat steady. I mean, you know, we haven't really projected much of an increase in the cost of wages, and there's nothing in here that deals with additional software, hardware, ILS, or anything like that.
That's coming. Okay. Right. It's not in here. That's
and there's nothing about building maintenance costs increasing either. I mean, in terms of, you know, elevators, roofing, the kinds of things we run into.
It was built into
we showed a little increase in vehicle operation, basically gas purchases.
There's where we're under supplies. A lot of that stuff's under supplies. We added in office furniture and equipment.
I just meant building maintenance, the kinds of things that are failing at Central and other older buildings that we're responsible for.
There's some of that already built into the budgets. There's like a $25,000 contingency that's already there. These, for at least for next year, we base the cost on Kira, and the other managers have been working on their budgets, and you know, Kira put in money for certain things. There is another piece we'll talk about in a minute. Okay, so.
Can I just interject?
Yeah.
I think that the question is a good one, and that particularly at the board meeting, and you're probably going to do this, before starting to go through these projections, sort of recap the methodology, not the detailed methodology, but just what's the purpose of this, and the fact that this is not a forecast of what we expect the expenses to be, and therefore we're being detailed about, well, we're going to need $100,000 3 years out for a new technology purchase. This is for just status quo, moving along as we are today, special project needs, special capital needs. These are not in here. It needs to be really clear, especially when we're looking at the bottom line.
That's where the budget priorities,
exactly,
I think, come in.
Exactly.
And that's why, hold on to discuss.
Maybe we should put status quo right at the top as well, just to set that mindset.
This is just limping along as we are today.
Some decreases and some increases,
right,
but they don't seem to be comprehensive, and that's what was throwing me off.
Yeah, they're based on some expectations.
We are projecting some things in the future, like a drop in our debt service and
we know what's happening.
Okay. And I realized when I took the Scottsdale rent out, I took it out of the wrong line. So when we're talking about building facility maintenance operation,
what should be dropping
is the $401,000 for equipment, buildings, and land rentals.
Right.
I will fix that. Same bottom line. But
I saw that $141,000 drop.
And I was just looking at that too, trying to figure that out. Yeah.
All right.
So it shouldn't have dropped. We didn't show it go up, but it shouldn't have dropped.
And that's where a lot of that stuff is. Books and periodicals, we weren't sure quite what to do, so we just took 8% of an $11 million budget and set it at 880 and figured,
right,
there we go.
But still showed only spending $500,000 this year.
Yeah. Library functional supplies, that's one I still need to do some checking on, but we just kept that steady. That's based on the book budget and stuff, so you may see some changes there. Otherwise, pretty much miscellaneous supplies and services went up based on requests from managers for things that we need. There's a place where some of those things are.
Yeah, but we're talking dollars. Well,
we're not talking major.
No, we're not talking huge numbers, but they are there. So anyway, that's kind of the rationale behind it. Now, the piece that's not in there are the budget, the other piece that you have, budget priorities that I did, and this is what I want to ask. I'm coming to you on Monday night with a request to reclassify the office supervisor position to administrative analyst. And I do have costs for these, but I've got them on a separate sheet because if we want to talk about it without knowing the dollars, that could be important. So assuming you vote for that, we've got three reclasses that we know of. We know that the bookmobile drivers are being reclassed from courier to bookmobile driver. What I'm not positive of is what level they'll be at. We have a pretty good idea, and so I've got a dollar amount. It's not very much money. I think it's like $5,000, $4,400, if what happens, happens. What I expect is happens. Information technology division is out of parity with the city IT department. So should I just take these reclasses and build them in rather than put them down as a priority?
I would.
I think you should, because I don't think it's something you really have. It's a reclass that we believe is justified. I don't think we have your
Well, not only justified, the only one that you have to vote for is the office service. Actually, vote for all of them, I guess, but I don't think there's a whole lot of choice.
We have choice, but we'd be irrational to, like, say, you know, ignore the facts of the case. And
I don't think these should be here under priority.
Okay.
I think they should
and
be built in.
Jack didn't have these. He was just doing it, so I'll get you those.
Or I believe you can also add them in yourself.
I could add them in myself.
And with the IT division where you don't have...
I have an estimate.
You can put an estimate.
I have an estimate of what it's going to be. So, then moving down... all the positions at the library. As we change how we're delivering service with the self-check, with a single point of service, with just looking at different ways of doing things, we really need a staffing plan. And I really need a consultant to do this. I've talked to HR, and that really needs to be done from the outside. So it's $25,000. So that I'll present as a priority and let the board talk about it. Assuming we stay with 10 branches and 4 regionals, we need to do, and I mentioned this last month at the meeting, something about the supervision for the 6 satellites. I think that for a year we can probably, until the staffing plan is done, because I think that that would be part of what somebody would look at. I have a way to do it, maybe that's minimal cost or cost neutral, but it's a priority. Scotts Valley Library, I have preliminary estimates. It's $8,000 for the move. Now we're going to try to cut that by maybe doing a lot of it with volunteers. That's another one that I could, it's kind of a known cost, so we could throw it in to the projections under moving costs.
Well, I mean, it's, what are we going to say? What are we going to say? Don't move? I think it's another given.
That's a given. You don't have to spend that much because you can get everybody to carry books.
But 8,000 is nothing in the realm of.
I mean, that's the maximum. If, you know, I've actually got an estimate for 8,000.
I think it should just be built in. If they're going to move.
The other thing is that there's going to be some unexpected needs. Now, one's actually expected. They've got, I can't remember, I think they've got like 4 workstations that they can move over, but they need 6. So they're going to have to buy 2 workstations. And I don't think that the budget, the Scotts Valley budget, is going to cover that. So I would like to have some money available for things we know that are going to come up with a new building that really are our responsibility and not the city of Scottsdale. It's just, and I don't know, 5, 10,000.
I think that, I do agree that should be on the list because that is something that the board could say,
okay,
no.
All right, so I'll leave that on the list. Then the second set I have are priorities I feel are critically important, but they may not be essential for 10-11. We need to look at studies for Central and Aptos for what we can do with the facilities themselves. The other one is technology and vehicle replacement funds, and this starts to talk about the technology issue. peers work to help, that we should be put in order to replace vehicles, which, I mean, we have vehicles that are over 120,000 miles and 13 years old. Right now, because that we have not funded it, we need $103,000 a year
to catch up.
Now, I doubt we can come up with that, but I think it's important that the board recognize this is something, this is one of those costs that Jesse's talking about. We can put off vehicles as long as we like, but one day they're going to collapse.
And then what are you paying down with parts and repairs? And they often right. They're shopping out of service and they have to rent something to fill in. And what's that cost?
Yeah. So I recognize that we're probably not going to afford this much, but I want the board to see that's what's needed. That's how bad it's because we've ignored it for so long.
And that's for the...
That's for vehicles only.
Right. Okay.
Now, on the technology side, there needs to be a technology replacement fund for the purchase of replacement staff and public PCs, which should be ongoing, not all of a sudden we need to replace, how many do we have, 150 PCs or something? We need to have a schedule that we're going to replace X number each year. There's a certain amount of dollars for that. And I've asked Dan to try to come up with some sort of schedule for that. Did they arrive? Did the 60 computers get here?
Not yet.
We were supposed to come because we also have an elevator number.
Right. Right.
He's ordered 60 using $30,000. He got 60 computers. That are
refurbished,
but they supposedly come with warranty, so we'll see. But until we know if that works. But well, anyway,
what kind of computers are they?
I don't even know that they have a brand name.
Well, they've probably been changed out enough too that they're not really what they once were.
But the vendor is giving us a warranty, so they'll replace to a certain extent.
So then the other pieces of this are self-check system-wide, which came out a lot less expensive because Dan did a great job negotiating. We're getting a site license. We have to pay for the first seven, and then all of them after that are... So instead of $200,000, it's only going to be about $34,000. The ILS needs to be replaced.
You think?
Yes. What do you think about that, Jesse?
I'm getting older. We need to do something.
We just keep giving her vitamins. and that could be, you know, I mean, Dan is talking about from $100,000 to $250,000. Now, I will say, at the piece of this that we need to think about is that the Friends are going to do a capital campaign over the next 2-3 years for technology, to support us for technology. So they've got some money in the bank that could pay for the self-checks. Not quite pay for the ILS if we use those for self-check. So the board kind of needs to decide how much they want to invest in this or how. So I'm not really sure how to present that one, but it's... And then there's some furniture remodeling costs to truly and effectively implement self-check. Once again, might go after the Friends for that, but I just, you know, spend about $500 a workstation. So...
Can we go back to number two for a minute?
Sure.
The ILS. I totally understand it needs to be replaced. A few years ago, over the past, not this past year because we were dealing with other crises, but perhaps the year before, in the last budget, last couple of budgets, we talked about ILS, and there's been some, without me going back to my notes, this is what got in my head, we've authorized some spending over the past few years to prepare for new ILS, to, I don't remember what exactly we did, get some new equipment so that we could handle the new ILS. Maybe that's not true.
We paid dues to some group.
We contracted.
We've done something.
Yes.
Yeah, you're right.
And so I think the question would come up, you know, was the money we spent, is it, you know, are we still along the same strategy? Because that would be my question. We heard about a strategy a few years ago with open source, et cetera, and why we were going there. And the board said, yes, that's a good idea. Let's go open source. So I think it would be good just to refresh, not a lot of detail, but to refresh the board's memory on what we decided and
how much money we've spent to date.
Because we contributed something, $40,000 or something to open. It wasn't the real cost, but something.
I can't remember.
Show of good faith or something.
Right.
Yeah, and we have a contract with an open source vendor, which is kind of an oxymoron.
I know. But the new definition of open source.
Yes, exactly. And they won't charge us until we go live. Now, there have been some recent developments in the open source world, particularly with that vendor, that aren't so great. And so it's kind of at a crossroads of which way we're going to go, and are we going to use this particular... There's kind of two major open source library applications that are out there. And the one we've been looking at is Koha, and we may want to abandon that and go a different direction. And King County in Washington is seriously looking at and developing Evergreen. And my feeling is, if it works for King County, it's going to work for us. They're a very robust system. They have a lot of branches. They move a lot of materials around. It's a very, very good system. So there is that possibility. There is still the possibility of going with a regular vendor, which is why kind of the range in the price. So it's hard to exactly say what's happening because we, right at this moment, it's kind of pretty dicey. I don't know if you have anything to say about it, Jesse.
Well, what I was going to say is our main concern and our concern about doing something quickly is not because our current ILS is in any way inadequate or has shortcomings. It's because if I get hit by a bus, before we convert to something, we are going to be in very bad shape because I am unfortunately the only person who understands the current ILS. And what we need to do is to get our data out of this system and into another system. So the time crunch here is not, I don't want anybody to feel like we're not offering the public good service now in terms of our ILS, because that's not the issue. The issue is that we have a single point of failure, which is me. So what we choose is, I think, still up in the air. Management is discussing options. We have not spent any money that has been wasted money. It is all preparatory to any conversion that we do. But I think that's probably, anytime you guys get a chance to pass that information on to the other board members, that's where the real issue of time is.
And the other piece of that is, Jesse can do miracles with the current system. And so some of the things like where I said, you know, we can't send out an overdue notice before it's due. Maybe we can. She might be able to do that.
Yeah.
The question is, how much time and resources do we want to spend in doing those kinds of things if we're just going to go to another system? So my answer to you is, no, we can't do it now. I didn't turn around and ask Jesse, because Jesse's here, but we can do that. How much time do we want her doing many of? And we have asked her to do some things. I mean, just the receipt printers that we introduced on Saturday. I mean, it took a lot of time. Now, that may have happened with any system, but...
That's what happens. I was working on the Unix system at the university and using it to make pictures before we had Macs. And, you know, it's like, they can't do that. They're not made for that, but you can do it.
Right. So, you know, we need to move forward technologically, and it's not necessarily the system itself that's holding us back, but how much do we want to put into something that we know has to
that
go away.
That we know is going away, and we've already set that direction.
So we really just need to kind of, you know, I mean, it's not getting any better 2 years down the line. If we looked at this and in 2 years we were $500,000 in the good, I would say, okay, we'll wait. But we're not.
Right.
So we need to move soon. Now, we may be able to get the friends to pay for it, or at least part of it.
And do you have an ballpark estimate of the cost?
Anywhere from 100 to about 250.
Okay.
I mean, it's kind of a...
I think that's good enough from the standpoint of the board identifying priority.
Yeah. So basically, I'll take out the 3 reclasses and the moving cost for Scott Valley, and everything else I'll leave in as is.
Yeah. That's it.
That sound like a deal?
Sounds like a deal.
It does.
Good. That's going to be a difficult one.
comment about, so I have fund balances at year end. You can see it's a barely positive number, but of course, fund balance is not cash.
Right.
So we still have the cash issue as projected.
I was going to ask a question about that, Jack, and that city cash advances. In the projections, there's nothing budgeted there, but we are fund balance for all those years.
What I did, the budget was actually down under the expenditures at the very end. We budgeted $20,000, thinking it could be that high. And then, of course, we renegotiated the interest rate, and interest rates dropped and all the rest of it. But because we recently thought it made more sense for long-term comparisons to show the interest back up, even though it's a negative interest, if you will, or expense, we're showing it up in revenue, even though the budget wasn't there, because we heard some concerns that if we can go from year to year, it's nice to be able to see the positive interest, the negative interest, and then soon the positive interest again.
You still didn't have any in 11-12, 12-13.
Right. So my expectation would be that we will have a positive cash balance by the end of next fiscal year.
So that, is that in the assumptions?
Can I ask a question?
I need to know it's not.
Didn't say it, no.
Maybe that should go in the assumptions.
Positive cash balance.
I can probably say that because I'm not the decision maker, but it seems like it makes sense to get there.
That's what we need to work out.
Oh, okay. So, but there isn't a line item that says money needed to get. I was asking Teresa, how are we getting to that positive cash balance?
Oh.
Because there's no line item here that deals with a necessity to somehow achieve a $600,000.
Okay. You're right. And if we left it just this way alone, you would see that growing. You'd see a larger and larger interest expense. We stayed away from the interest knowing that this is going to get reworked. But I did feel some obligation because that's a reality staring us in the face to put something there.
Oh, I wasn't questioning the interest costs. What I was saying was, how are we representing our need to get some additional revenue from somewhere or make additional expense cuts somewhere in order to achieve a neutral cash balance where we are not in.
So you're saying because the fund balance will get driven, correction will get driven by the big negative. The board will look at that and say, oh, we have to do something, whatever that is. And you're saying beyond that, because I'm putting out cash, that maybe we should think about putting funding a cash reserve in there.
Maybe we need to have a line at the end that gives what we need, reflects that we need to find $600,000 to get out of the negative.
I think it's a priority.
It would also be something like a cash flow account or something that we need to treat as an expense that we need to fund.
Because I remember asking you what it would take us, what we would have to see.
Yeah, over the cash flow is not
to get.
Cash flow is not the same as balance. You're trying to fix apples and oranges here or something.
But my issue is not in projections, because that is a decision that the board would have to make to do that or not do that and continue paying, assuming the city would loan the money, continue that. To me, that's status quo. The city continues to cover our shortfalls and we continue to, we begin to pay interest again, perhaps. I think that
that's a priority.
I think it should be one of the priorities to fix that situation. That's not, aren't the right words
to use. The board has discussed having a reserve, funding a reserve that would essentially do that.
Right, and so that would be one of the priorities that we, as a board, would be able to give you direction out of this next meeting to say that it's a priority.
There's actually two things going on. What's a priority issue, which is the board might decide, let's find a way to fix this long term or something. The other issue is if you had a zero balance at the end of the year on the balance sheet, you'd say, fine, we got through the year, there's no problem, everything's balanced out, expenditures meet the revenues, what's the problem? You'd have a problem because with a zero balance, probably some months of the year, you're not going to be able to make payroll.
That's right.
And so I think it does, in addition to saying there's a long-term fix that's needed, which is a priority issue, the board can decide about that. The board doesn't have a choice about coming up with money for cash flow because if you don't pay your employees their checks, something else starts to happen. So I think on some level there needs to be, it's actually a cost that you bear so that when you're all balanced out, if you don't show a certain, I don't know what it would be in the end of the year, but a balance else at the end of everything. I suppose that's why it's not on the same sheet, because at the end of the year you could have zero and be fine as long as it was more earlier or something. But if there's not some expenditure that sort of gives you something more than zero balance, then you don't have the way to deal with your cash flow problems. And so you really need a line here that says we should never operate without having X numbers of additional dollars sitting there for no other purpose.
A reserve.
And we, I give it a specific reserve, though. It's a cash flow reserve that you need to have for no other reason. And any given month, you might need to like dip into that to be able to make your payroll or make your
vendors or whatever. Right, as opposed to a reserve fund, which is over and above your monthly expense cash flow.
Because this is not unexpected. I mean, that's one thing.
Right.
Reserve is for things that could happen to us, you know,
right,
that we don't know about. But you can plan on having a cash flow problem. If you have a zero balance budget, you can count on having a cash flow problem.
And if the city is suddenly unwilling or unable to continue to loan us that money, we have to find someone who will do it.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And probably in some different interest rate, because there's not going to be bankers out there paying, you know, this average interest.
So that would be a priority.
Okay. So we need to figure out how much, what is the minimum, what is the maximum that we need for.
It's wherever the year you would. I mean, does it happen at the same time? Because
what is our highest?
But there must be some place of the year where you have got the biggest gap between how much you got.
Typically, that would be around December when we would have that biggest issue before the first tax property tax check comes in.
Whatever that number is at that time, that's an extra budget expense.
Is that
to have that money sitting in our accounts?
Is that the pooled cash?
I mean, you might have to take money from the book budget to do that. It's not in the reserve. It's coming from somewhere.
Right, if you don't have somebody to loan it to you.
That really, I think that's more transition.
Makes you there, so maybe 22%.
Yeah, see, this is what I would expect December right there. That's what I would expect.
So 700,000 would be. So we need to eliminate the negative cash flow and create a cash flow reserve, $700,000. And then, actually, another priority would be and I would put this on the future year, that we probably, not next year, but maybe the year after, to establish a cash reserve.
My guess is that we'll dig out of the negative fund balance this year and with the positive fund balances, as we're projecting, but just barely. And then but it'll take longer to get that positive cash balance.
Right. And as we've seen, there's other expenses that are going to slow that down.
Right.
And
it's not pretty.
The wealthy don't have these problems.
But the other way to look at this is we have $10 million.
Right.
We can operate a damn fine library system on $10 million. It may not look like the library system we have now, but it can be a very good library system.
It would be very different.
Because a lot of libraries do it on a lot less.
Right.
And they don't have our constituents.
That's my speech for the night.
Well, and that
is not.
That is
not included. That's a lot of money.
It is a lot of money.
It is. And,
we were just looking at some comparisons with other libraries in the strategic planning committee, and
because you bring that chart?
No, that's where you start.
You know, when you don't know
the library or in a social service.
Right. You don't know the details behind a lot of this, but you know, you can understand, you know, how many branches they have, and is it a county system, so they're covering a wide area, etc. And there's a number of libraries, it seems, around the country that are in similar situations to us and have similar budgets. So we don't, of course, without having gone there or talked to them, we don't know, are they spending any money on materials at all or what? But
or individuals, communities are, do they have
it depends
volunteers
on
coming in and cleaning the branch or something?
Exactly.
All kinds of stuff happens in other places.
Exactly. Well, you know, don't know. It can be done. I mean, you know, it kind of depends on.
Maybe we should work for the money forward rather than the library system.
And that's what I would like to do. I would like to take a positive approach to it. We have $10 million. What can we buy?
What I'm thinking from a timing standpoint, I sort of look at the next budget year as a holding year, because we won't have 100% completed our strategic plan with all the details before we need to pass our budget. And I think within the strategic plan context and what comes out of the strategic plan, there will need to be further discussions about, okay, now what does that mean for the structure of our system?
This is kind of an unfair question to ask, but on some level, do you think that the strategic plan that we develop, how much relationship will the strategic plan that we develop with community input, the sense of what people want in their library, and what we can, not being pie in the sky, but trying to be reasonable stuff, how close will that be to what we might ever be able to afford, given the budget crisis that we're in? Because I certainly imagine a disconnect between the strategic plan and this, what we're talking about here. You might be on this, over here's your strategic plan. This is, people want little branches all over the place. They want whatever the stuff is. And over here we're going, if I had $10 million and starting from scratch to design a library, it wouldn't look like this. It wouldn't look not only what we have now, it might not look at what we come up with through a strategic plan either. Because
right.
The strategic plan is deeply influenced by people's sense of what we have now.
Absolutely.
What they want to hold on to. And a lot of the comments were, that I was looking at, the ones that I collected out from Trader Joe's, awful lot of people going like they like this or that or something else about the library. In effect, they're saying the library should do what I go to the library for these services and they ought to continue.
But you know what was interesting, and I don't think that we're jumping the gun here since the Strategic Planning Committee has seen all this, is remarkable consistency in the that we got from all the sources that we got them in I don't know what it's how many top five priorities that people named, or even the top ways they use the library currently. Remarkable consistency. And I mean, Teresa is obviously far better at saying, is it doable? But it seemed to me that it was. It seemed to me that
it's doable, but we may have to, I think we need to take the approach of, on the higher level, this is what people want.
This is what costs and grants and voting the people.
This is how we can give them that. And whether or not we can do it with 10 libraries, I don't know. But
so one way that gets
quality of service we can provide.
One way that gets confronted, if you've done all this work and build popular support for a certain strategic conception of where we're going, is you say, here's a ballot measure. This is what it takes to fund this. You know, it's not pie in the sky. This will take some more money than we have currently. So this is what we have to do. If this doesn't get funded, we have another plan. With the current level of funding, this is what you get. And you don't get your strategic plan. You get something very, very different. It's a reconceptualization from scratch. It's based much more kind of professional judgment about stuff. That's a harsh choice to give people. But, I mean, that's sometimes what a ballot campaign requires. People have a lot of statement about what you're going to get if you don't pass this thing.
We can't even.
The most accurate referendum from the public that you can have is a ballot referendum for funding.
We can't even afford to get on the ballot.
We don't want to be on any of these ballots that are coming up.
No.
25 of the things.
No. But, I mean, I do see that over the next, through the summer and probably early fall, that will be where some of the details around the strategic plan. And I do think there will be something in the strategic plan that one of the overriding goals will be become financially sustainable.
Yeah, no, of course.
And so there's a number of ways of doing that, and those details will probably be discussed, ad nauseum over the course of the summer and fall.
In the meantime, next year's budget is going
to
be...
In the meantime, we have to do next year's budget. And so that's why I sort of look at it as we're not going to be making decisions on the structure of a library in this budget. I mean, maybe that's not true, but I don't know that we have the framework to do that yet.
We have a strategic plan that doesn't meet until next Tuesday. the day after the board meeting.
I know. It would be really nice to get that update.
Are you adjourned?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Yes, we're adjourned.